Any coach or consultant that specializes in working with other human beings to help them become better or do better in either business or life will need to draw from their own experiences as a way to create a much fuller experience when it comes to helping another human being. Now, can a coach or a consultant be trained academically to be able to apply certain types of strategies or techniques to help someone become better? Sure, one can be trained in hypnotherapy, mental emotional release therapy, NLP, energetics, Reiki, you name it, all those different things to which I personally have been trained in a variety of modalities as well around. But then if a coach does not blend their own experiences in life, their own unique experiences in life, and the learnings they've developed from their own life into the work that they do, then what is it that then separates them from everybody else? I would venture to say there are plenty of what I call straw coaches and straw consultants out there. And I don't mean to say that in a offensive way, but rather it's rather like the beginning, you know, when we talk about like the three little pigs and how the different houses were developed and built. What people don't realize is the pig that built the brick house built it out of a combination of what the other two pigs built to create stronger bricks. Bricks that have straw in it, bricks that have, you know, dirt in it and all those different things, so that it became hardened as a blend of everything. So if you find yourself kind of getting offended, don't worry. It's not about that. It's about understanding the different stages of that. That being said, my specialization around helping human beings around bad money stories and self-sabotage were initially anyway, primarily motivated by my own visceral journey around having bad money stories and constantly self-sabotaging my journey as an entrepreneur, to a point where I often say this, and you hear me say it multiple times as to why I do what I do, is because I wouldn't wish my own journey as an entrepreneur dealing with bad money stories and self-sabotage to my own worst enemy. Now, if you're hearing this for the very first time and you are asking the questions, well, what specifically are bad money stories? And the way to best answer that is to think about what I mean by stories. Stories that we have in our mind. See, the unconscious mind doesn't think in terms of just words and explanations, but rather it is the translation of what is actually going on underneath. The stories and of the experiences of the internal representations that we've gathered throughout our life to validate and verify certain types of belief systems. I guess you can say that the stories that the unconscious mind allows us to run sequentially in our mind are expressions of certain types of belief systems that we have. And without those stories, those belief systems would not have any place to live. In other words, those belief systems would be simply theory and not viable were it not for the stories of our experiences in our lives to support that. So when we're talking about bad money stories and we're talking about money stories as a whole, what we're talking about are our experiences in life that justify particular beliefs around money. And of course, when I say it's bad money stories, it's these belief systems around our relationship with money that contribute to undesirable results in our lives. Therefore, called bad money stories. And the reason why when I work with my clients and I work with my students around bad money stories and self-sabotage, I have found in the world of capitalism, which is currently the era that we all live in right now, bad monies and self-sabotage are one of the primary contributors to, in the civilized world, what, and those that live in a capitalistic world, because there are certain pockets of humanity that aren't even part of this capitalistic world we live in, and they live off the land and don't even have internet, and I don't know how they do it. But again, first world problems, right? but the bad money stories and self-sabotage are probably the primary culprits to living a life that is less than ideal. Living a life where challenges of sabotage come up. So when there are bad money stories that are running, then eventually what will happen is when we are using our belief systems to make decisions around money and they're bad beliefs or they're bad stories that will lead us to an undesirable end result, that is a form of what we call sabotage. And the reason why I call it self-sabotage, because when we say sabotage in general, then it opens up the possibility for us as human beings, us as individuals, to blame external circumstances for what we're experiencing in the moment that is undesirable. So why I like to use self-sabotage, it gives every individual that decides to use that phrase of self-sabotage to describe a circumstance that they're in, to be able to take the power of self-personal responsibility for their circumstances. And it's only when you take personal responsibility that you can actually do something about it. Every time we blame an external circumstance, it makes it extremely difficult for us to do anything about it. And that's kind of what I went through. Every time I had a situation where I made a lot of money and then I sabotaged my own circumstance, so I lost all that money, I had a lot of things that I could blame. I could blame money. I could blame my inability to have been taught or guided or mentored well. I could blame my parents. I could blame the economy. There was a whole thing. And every time I did that, all it did was help me reset the story so I can run a new bad money story, kind of like how Hollywood runs movies. They say that in Hollywood, there are three fundamental stories that every movie follows and runs. It's just different characters, different actors, different contexts, different scenarios, different time periods. But essentially, all the stories are the same. And the same thing can be said about bad money stories that run underneath. My bad money story originated from way back when my father decided, I mean, one of the stories anyway, when my father decided to teach me about money at a very young age. And mind you, before he decided to teach me about money, we lived in a household where it was not okay or didn't feel safe to ask about money. In other words, my job as a student was to just be a student. I was not allowed to get a job, or I was rather discouraged from getting a job. It was not looked fondly upon to go out and get a part-time job. I wanted to be a paperboy. I wanted to do all these things that all my friends were doing to make a little side change to understand commerce, right? And I think that, of course, that wasn't what I was thinking. I just wanted to make some money, right? Do a part-time job like everybody else was doing. But in my father's eyes, I think to his best efforts in trying to help me focus and be the best student and do as best as I could academically was to say, well, I'm making enough money. There's no reason for you to make money. But he never really sat down and taught me about money, which was kind of like the missing piece. Well, when he decided to do that, he decided to teach me how to make money by giving me a credit card. Now, in retrospect, I think most people will say, well, that's not a very good idea. Well, I guess it would work if it came with like the proper instructions. I think the only instructions that I remember anyway was that when he gave me a credit card, obviously tied to his account, he said to me, use this for emergencies only, but I think you should learn responsibility when it comes to money or whatever the case may be. And then proceeded to give me everything that came with every credit card in an envelope to say, okay, go ahead and read up on this. You could learn about the credit card. So I learned about APR. I even learned about all these other things. So, and there it was. Put it in my Velcro Ocean Pacific wallet and then went about my life. And if you can imagine, a young child's version of emergency is vastly different from a 30-some-odd-year-old grown man's version of family man at that version of emergency. So my version of emergency was when McFarlane came out with his new line, came back to redraw Spider-Man, which is my go-to hero, superhero. And it was on the shelf, and when it was first released that week, it was flying off the shelves, ready to be sold out in so many different ways. I said, oh my God, this is an emergency. If I don't get that, I won't be able to, it'll be sold out. I won't be able to get it anymore. And so when my local favorite comic book store carried it, that week I went in there and I said, oh my God, they're all still available. Grabbed a stack of my favorite versions of it, went to the cashier and I asked him, I would like to purchase these. And he goes, cash or check? Well, you didn't say credit card, because back then credit card was still not very commonly supported in small boutique type of shops, such as the comic book store I was at. And I didn't have any cash at the time. I had basically had nothing in my wallet. I didn't know what I was thinking, actually, about how I was going to get it. I thought maybe I could have him hold it. And I didn't have a check because I didn't even know how to write a check. And so I looked at him and says, I don't have that money right now. I was hoping that you could hold it until I can. He goes, well, these are brand new. I can only hold it till the end of the day. I said, end of the day? That's when I totally panicked. So I looked in my wallet and I saw the glint of a gold credit card sticking out from the inner slot of my wallet. And so to which I then asked the cashier, do you take credit card? The cashier looked at me, one, probably looked at me going, why does this kid have a credit card? And two, he looked at me because he said, no, we don't take credit card, cash or check. I said, okay, cool. Can you hold on to this? I'll be back before the end of the day. I was on a mission. I had to figure it out. And this stubbornness in me actually became something of a benefit later on in life. But anyway, I digress. So I left the place and I sat there and I thought, all the different things I read about the credit card, there was something that I also remembered. Remember back then, it wasn't about, nothing was stored in phones or cell phones. There was no cell phones, actually. Everything was memorized, right? So what I remembered were four interesting numbers, which were called the PIN, the ATM PIN. See, the credit card had its own ATM PIN. So I said, So I went across the street to the Bank of America, the ATM, and I saw that the icons matched the credit card that I had. And I put in the PIN, and oh my goodness. It was like magic. Not only could I pull out 20, I could pull out as much as money as I want, so I thought. So instead of pulling out just 20, I pull out 100. I might as well get a few other comics. Now, mind you, 20 bucks could have gotten me more than enough comics that I needed, but it was just kind of like my early experience with greed, if you will. Pulled out the money, I immediately went back, was able to buy the comic books, and for the rest of that first month of having that credit card and revealing that there was this magic key thing that I could do to pull out as much money as I want, it was a magical month. Of course, as you, most of us know, what happens when you do a cash advance on a credit card, the APR is a little bit different. And so the end of the month came, and my father got the bill. And so upon receiving the bill, I got punished. And, you know, I'm the first generation here. So, you know, corporal punishment was something that wasn't uncommon in our Chinese culture back in the day. And so the type of punishment that I got ran the entire gambit. I was hit. I was yelled at. I was screamed at. I was shamed. There was a whole host of different things, okay? And I don't say this to vilify my dad or anything like that, because if I were him, I probably would have done the same thing, I think. But it was to kind of help understand how one of my bad money stories got created. Because what had happened was it got to a point where it was kind of like that Charlie Brown adults talking to me, where I stopped listening or hearing what my dad was saying. It turned into a wah, 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 but very in a more painful way. And all I wanted was for the pain to stop. And it did stop by the same person who was actually the source of the pain. And when he was done, he was exhausted. He turned to me and the last thing he said is, "Hey, give me back the credit card. You're not ready. I will let you know when you're ready." As a side note, I don't think he's ever released me from that unreadiness type of perception. I don't think he ever came back one day and said, okay, you're ready now. Here's a credit card. Because by that time, I was getting my own credit cards in college. So I never heard that. So that's an interesting note to think about. But anyway, so the minute he got the credit card from my hand, the pain stopped. And in that moment, Little Wei learned a very powerful lesson when it came to about money anyway. Which is that when it comes to money, which is what the credit card kind of represented, Wei gets hurt and he gets in pain. And the only way that pain or that hurt will stop is if you give away that money or have that money taken away from you, which is what the credit card represented, kind of like the metaphor of money. Now, by now, you're probably hearing this, it's like, oh, well, that's an interesting belief. That's an interesting story, right? That belief was supported by that story that I just shared. which then translates to a bad money story, because fast forward now, what happened in life as an entrepreneur, or even when I was in college, that whenever an abundance of money came through, like, you know, school loans, student loans, big chunks of money that came, or more credit cards, that what would happen was there was a self-sabotage feature that comes in, that as soon as money came in or any form of it, there was a kick-out type of thing. It was spent. It was given away. It was set up to be taken away, so that little way inside could say, see, you're safe now. Now, that doesn't bode very well when you're trying to accumulate certain amounts of money for savings, or certain amounts of money to, you know, buy things that you actually need, when you have that money, bad money story kicking up in high gear, which then creates a lot of self-sabotage. So one could say, well, you probably could have used that belief and become very frugal with your money, but that just simply wasn't the case. There was too much pain around it, so that it just didn't feel good to have money around. Fast forward even more to my journey as an entrepreneur, be making six figures and then nothing, and then seven figures and nothing. And it was at one point where I had hundreds of thousands of dollars just sitting there in my bank account that didn't need to be invested, because all the investment plan or investment portfolio was taken care of, didn't need it for taxes, didn't need it for overhead, didn't need any of that stuff, because all that was covered, and it was still several hundred thousand dollars still just sitting there. And then within 30 days, I kid you not, within 30 days, most of that had dwindled down to almost nothing. Now, back then, if you had asked me, oh my God, what happened to the money? I would have just shrugged and said, I don't know, spent it, right? Because there was a bad money story in there clouding out my ability to kind of reevaluate that. Why? Because it was an effort for the unconscious mind to keep me safe by utilizing that bad money story, because it still believed that when there was money around, that I would get hurt. Now, again, this is just one example of a bad money story, and it was a big one for me. And there were a few other ones that revealed themselves as I started to understand how to entrench and eliminate these bad money stories, so that the self-sabotage piece would naturally go away. And I guess why I wanted to share this with you is for you to start to kind of really think about, what are some of the bad money stories that are running underneath for you? And how has those led to other forms of self-sabotage? Now, it's not always applicable, and it doesn't always show up, I mean, in business. My bad money stories impacted my health, because I would prioritize things with that actually superseded my needs for my health. I would prioritize things that superseded my needs for a relationship. And so then money became a problem in all areas of my life, because it was so quick to get out of my system, my ecosystem of self, that I wasn't actually properly utilizing the money that was, you know, in my life at the time. And so you can start to see that the impact of bad money stories is more than just about the money. Because when I went deeper, the justification that bad money stories had for me not wanting to get hurt, it went even deeper. It went even deeper to certain belief systems that way isn't good enough to have money, or way isn't good enough to have approval from his father. You know, there was a whole host of issues that I dove deep on to then eventually get to a point where I really had to deal with it. Otherwise, this roller coaster journey as an entrepreneur would never end. And that's where the bad money stories and self-sabotage in my life inspired me, rather, or kicked me in the butt enough times that I actually had to do something about it, which then translated to me developing systems and duplicatable systems around it to help others deal with their bad money stories and self-sabotage.